Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I am forgiving when I didn't think I could. I am, God is helping me. God has helped me to forgive when I didn't think that I could. Go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, verse 4. I'll be deliberate. I'll try not to be long this morning. But I have a word I feel like that God has put on my heart. If we're willing, we'll learn from it. Maybe God will change our lives and change our thinking. And Joseph said to his brothers, this is after he's been sold into slavery. They attempted, wanted to take his life. He has been chased after by Potiphar's wife, refused her, and been accused of rape. PG-13 version, just for a few minutes this morning. And now he is the second in command in all of Egypt, out of Israel, into Egypt. He has the favor of Pharaoh, and his brothers are beginning to realize who he is. He said, please come near to me. And so they came near. And then he said it. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. Joseph said, don't be angry with me. He said, don't be angry with yourself. Sometimes we need some self-examination. Because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve your life. God, add your anointing to your word. Speak into our hearts today. May we learn lessons, simple lessons. May we be reminded that you are the God of forgiveness and that we need forgiveness. God, we need some things taken care of in our lives, that there are some intentional acts of treason against you and even against one another in the body. And God, we need forgiveness. We must be covered. And then God, not only do we need forgiveness, but we must walk in forgiveness and act like that we appreciate your forgiveness most of all. And that God, as we appreciate all that you've done for us, we learn to live at a higher standard. We start clicking on all spiritual cylinders. God, we start living in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts start to take place. We see miracles and healing, God. We see deliverance and faith, and we see tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy and discernment. 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 God, help us to grow up. Discernment. We see the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. God, that's what forgiveness does. That's what your love covers and bestows upon us. And I pray that you would do that today. In Jesus' name, would you please turn to someone around you and make them feel real loved and real welcome? Just give them the biggest high five, the biggest embrace, hug that you possibly can. Wonderful job this morning, guys. Beautiful. Do you have him down deep in your soul? I about got lost in that. I was about ready to do a little dance across this. It was good stuff. Joy down deep in my soul that exceeds far beyond anything the enemy can speak into us, say to us, or throw at us. I want to share with you what it seems at first will be a little difficult story, but stay with me and we'll work through it. I may be no doubt speaking into someone's life who've experienced some of these very things. I'm not trying to offend you or hurt you. I'm trying to go to a certain place, and hopefully it will bless you and it will help you today. It was in March 2009 when the book Picking Cotton made the New York Times bestseller list. It was written by none other than Ronald Cotton and Jennifer Thompson. It details her pinpointing him as her rapist along with another woman on the same night in Burlington, North Carolina in 1984. When Burlington police put together a lineup based on photographs, Thompson picked out Cotton. In the courtroom, as the jury looked on, Thompson identified him again. The jury found him guilty on one count of rape, one count of burglary, and he was sentenced to life in prison plus 55 years. The second victim that no one talked about, that the media chose not to cover, she chose an entirely different man out of the lineup. And while in prison, Cotton heard a rumor that an inmate by the name of Bobby Poole, who claimed to have perpetrated both of those crimes in Burlington on that night. Yet during his second trial, get this, the judge refused the pool information, and Cotton was sentenced for both crimes with two life sentences plus 180 years. Would you not agree that this is the epitome of someone being done wrong? Sometimes nothing adds up. Sometimes accusations are completely off base. Sometimes everyone sees you as guilty but you. It was at the end of that trial that Cotton chose to sing his way out of the courtroom, believing with all of his heart that he had received Jesus Christ into his life and that every sin had been covered. Ronald Cotton spent 11 years in prison. Then in October 1994, a motion was filed for DNA testing, and evidence showed that Cotton's DNA did not match, but ironically, Bobby Poole's did. It took the right test to get him out of his trouble. Many times when we are going through tests, we just want out. When we are going through tests and trials, we tend to want to give up and throw in the towel. But I submit to you today that sometimes it is the very test that you are going through that test will end up being what helps get you out of the situation that you are in. Jennifer Thompson was mortified, struggled with shame, endless feelings of guilt. Not only had she suffered physically, and that physical suffering was not lessened in any way, but now mentally she is wrestling with what she has done to this man. Incredibly though, God is now at work. Thompson has gone to bat for those that have been wrongly convicted, and she has now helped increase compensation for those in state penitentiaries throughout the United States that have been released because more monies have been recruited and invested. Her and Cotton now appear together all across the United States. No one wants to go through what he or she did, yet now she has done incredible things for the judicial system, and Ronald Cotton has been her biggest supporter. You talk about forgiveness. That's the forgiveness of God at work in the life of two individuals that society says should have been bitter enemies for the rest of their lives. I tell you today, there is no case too big for the God that we serve. There is no struggle that you are going through that God cannot give you peace. I don't know about you, but I can't count the number of times when fingers were pointed at me. Believing all the while, knowing all the while in my heart I had done nothing wrong, nothing to deserve it. Sometimes I knew that I did. Sometimes I knew I deserved the finger being pointed at me. Knowing that regardless of who is to blame, I was a hurting, mixed up mess. Knowing that I have been on both sides, Miss Sarah, of that same predicament. Knowing how many times I've hurt others and how many times they have hurt me. Understanding the degree and the depth of pain that paralyzed me and restricted me, David, from movement, not only physically or mentally and emotionally, but spiritually in the things of God and moving forward in the gifts that God had put on my life. Has anyone ever hurt you that way? Has anyone ever hurt you that deeply? Has there been times when you were the culprit, when you knew you were the one that hurt and did the damage and took away and stole from the life of someone else because of the hurt that you sowed into their heart and their soul? But it was there that it dawned on me that in actuality of how incredible the story is, how incredible it is that he got out of prison and that they are now incredible friends, Jennifer Thompson did absolutely nothing to get him out of prison. As a matter of fact, her hands were now tied. She did everything in the world to put him into prison, but did nothing to get him out of jail. She might have celebrated it, but it was an unrestricted third party called DNA that released Ronald Cotton from prison. I've hurt others, others have hurt me, but blaming someone else has never released me from the prison that I have chosen to live in. In all of my pain, nothing could make me free. I can't do anything about it really at all. What someone else did to me, that will never change. But it is my connection to the DNA of Jesus Christ that not only covers sin against me, but it covers the sin that I have committed toward others. And if there's anyone in the room that don't think you've ever been in both boats, you are fooling yourself, because we have all been hurt and we have all hurt others, but it is the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that brings us to an altar and changes our lives forever, and we can walk out of here free. It's the only way it can happen. The only way it can happen. Then turn to your neighbor, tell him it's the only way it can happen. It takes one touch, one call, one connection. And this hell on earth that I've been through for 10 years, 14 years, 20 years. And we walked through the doors of this auditorium, never believing that this could be the day that I might just be free. Massive damage requires a massive touch, but God's got it today, and God's got you. You won't believe it, but I'm about to take you, like I did Joseph, back to the ones who hurt you, and the lives of others will be better because I reconnected you to me and to one another. I'm telling you today, prophetically, I declare over this body that it will blow your mind what God is about to do. I'm talking about forgiveness when you didn't think you could. There are times in our lives when the hurt is intentional and the hurt is premeditated. And then sometimes we're just a legend in our own mind, and we get heard about every other week. And about every, that someone cares enough to plan and premeditate our hurt and our downfall about every other week of our lives. It's not happening, folks. People hurt you, yes. People don't have a calendar. They're not sitting down trying to take you out. I'm not saying the devil doesn't do that and uses people to do it from time to time. But in actuality, the person who hurt you may never do a thing for you. But God said, I will heal you with the blood of Jesus, who looked at those who crucified him and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I've had a lot of people, Brian, hurt me in my life. And I realized they're too dumb to know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. There's an ignorance there. There's an ignorance against God, an ignorance against me, an ignorance against the church about what they allow the enemy to stir up in their minds, in their hearts, in their contingency. And God said that I'm going to deal with that, and I'll give you a priceless example in my only begotten Son. I'll do it through Jesus, who on the cross said, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Those are the hardest times to forgive when you can't understand it and you can't figure it out. Why don't you praise him today? Because you know he forgave you when you didn't even know what it was that you did. You were just lost in sin, and God forgave you because of Jesus. Why don't you praise him today? Because you knew you had it coming, but he forgave you anyway. Am I speaking to anybody in the church? You praise him because he forgave you when you did not forgive someone else. Praise him because he forgave you when no one else would forgive you. Can you lift your hands today and say, God, I'm grateful, I'm thankful, I magnify you, because when I didn't deserve it and I didn't forgive others, you forgave me anyway. When Adam and Eve bit into that apple, we'll get to Joseph. They were both without excuse. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Eve understood the concept of death tied to sin. Genesis 3:3. She quotes the word of God herself to the enemy. She said, God said, don't eat it lest you die. She's quoting God's own word. The serpent speaks. Watch this in verse 5. The serpent speaks and says, you shall not die. I believe there was a time, quite possibly on this earth, when animals could speak. They could communicate with the verbal and with the language. And that's the problem with many of us today. We're letting any old animal speak into our lives. We're letting any old animal declare our future and our destiny, because everything that we know God has said about us, the enemy is telling us that God didn't say. But I came to declare today that the word of God is true and the word of God is holy. And if he's spoken it over your life and into your soul, you can count on him. God didn't say that. Yes, he did. When people hurt you, some do it intentionally. Well, it was an accident. It wasn't an accident. They did it with intent. But an intentional act of sin can only be overcome by an intentional act of forgiveness. That's what makes forgiveness so unexplainable. That's what makes forgiveness so special. That's why it stands alone and stands on its own. When God finds them, I love this. I never saw it like this before, Sarah. When God finds them in the garden, it's the same chapter, chapter 3 of Genesis. It's in the middle of all this. She quotes God's word, but she eats the apple anyway. That's our problem today. We're trying to have it both ways. We're trying to quote God's word and trying to eat the apple, and everything's hunky-dory. And God said, there's got to be some kind of standard to the way that you live. And one of those standards is forgiveness. It's how you treat others when they've not treated you well and not treated you right. It's how you respond to others. That's why we take it to a higher level. That's why we're Christians. That's why we know Jesus. That's why we live right. Amen. Amen. And right in the middle of all of this, chapter 3, verse 15, God sticks this prophecy in his word. I will put enmity between thy seed, devil, and her seed, serpent and her seed. You may bruise his heel, but the Christ will crush your head. I'm glad in verse 15 that God still speaks to us after all the animals have clamored for our attention. They've tried to divert us. They've tried to hurt us. And we've even fallen to the temptation of a sin. But God said, I want you to know in the midst of your transgression that I forgive you. And in the midst of the worst of the worst of the worst, I'm sticking a prophecy over your life that I will send my son Jesus. He will heal you and redeem you, and he will forgive you of every sin. Hey, I feel him all of a sudden. Lift your hands and praise him in this house. The greatest act of rebellion ever known to mankind, and God puts Jesus right in the middle of it. You've never known hurt like God knew hurt. Ought to be a lot more amens than that. You've never known hurt like God knew the hurt of rebellion in the first book of the Bible and the crucifixion of his son at the beginning of the new covenant. You've never known pain like God knows pain, like Jesus knew pain. You've not ever watched your prized creation deliberately quote your own word and then hurt you anyway. But God said, tell them right in the middle of the most reprehensible, intentional act of aggression in your life and on your life, in the midst of every intentional act of betrayal in your life, intentional act of persecution in your life, you tell them that I am putting today the seed of my promise right in the middle of your greatest pain. Amen. Amen. And I will redeem you, and I will restore you, and I will make you whole, and I will get between you and what the enemy has tried to sow into your life and destroy you with. I'm speaking to people in this house. You've been hurt. You've been legitimately hurt. Some of you have been the hurt-er instead of the hurtee. But I'm trying to tell you today, there's something that God said, you've not dealt with this in 42 years. You've not dealt with this in the last two decades. You've carried this since you were a child. And God said, if you don't let me get between you and what hurt you, it will destroy you and it will doom you for all of eternity. But if somehow you will let me break you and you will let me sow Jesus between what it was that hurt you and discouraged you and depressed you and stole your life, God said, I'll give your life back to you this very hour, this very moment, this very day, if you'll only let me. Would you lift your hand and praise him? Maybe I'm the only one in the house. I doubt it very seriously, but I've loved with all that I could love. I've had people just turn their back and walk away from that. Misinterpret what they thought I misrepresented. And I thought, God, how? Could anyone think that about me? Amen. God said, I can't deliver you if you won't acknowledge what it is that I'm trying to sow into your life. Sometimes God puts his seed in the strangest of places. God said, you tell them I'm putting the power of my son Jesus between who you keep blaming for all your pain and the curse that you deserve on your own life because of your own sin. Every intentional act against you, you didn't even know it, but God was right in the middle of it. That's hard to fathom. Yet he did it in Genesis when Adam and Eve fell with a crash and a thunder. God said, here's my promise.
Now, if he can do that with Jesus, if he can do that for himself, if he could do that all of those hundreds of years before, God can do that for you. God can do that for you. Turn to someone and tell them, God can do that for you. This is the promise of my word, says the Lord, that I have forgiven, I have covered, and I love you. But not only that, to this day I will deliver on my promise, and I will heal your broken heart. I will heal you of the damage that's been done. This is my word. I stand on it. I declare it, and I will bring it to pass, says the Lord of hosts. Praise God today. If he ever got between you and what someone else did to you, amen. Lift your hand, praise him. If he ever stood between you and the hurt that should have come your way, praise him. If he's ever helped you get over what you thought you would never get over in your life. Hands down, listen. Anybody in this house, God ever did that for you? He helped you get over. I want to know. He helped you get over something you never thought you would get over in your life. Is there one hand? There's one hand. There's two. They're going up. Look around. Everybody, look around. All over this house, something you never thought you would get over. That's a living, breathing testimony that God still does it. And he can help you. Yes. Yes. Come on. Let's bring this home. It is Genesis 37:28. And we find one of the most treasonous acts known to any man. Joseph is sold by his own flesh. It's one thing to be let down by someone you barely know, but it's quite another to be knocked off your feet by those closest to you. When people hurt you and there's no real desire to change, when they kind of just hope you're dead, that's deep hurt. His own brothers hated him for his father's favor. They hated him for his dreams. Hated him because he spoke with authority. Verse 37 tells us they conspired against him with the intent to kill him. Some have pushed you to the letter of the law. What they've done to you, conceived in hatred, they would do, and they would kill you if they could. They would just get rid of you and completely remove you out of their lives if they could. That's deep hurt. Don't you think there was not a moment that Jezebel wanted to wipe Elijah from the face of the earth? Joseph's brother scoffed at him, and when he walked into the room, they would say among themselves, here comes the dreamer. Here comes old Philip. Another smile for another day. Man, that gets on my nerves. Just happy all the time. There's not been one day I've been here that it ever bothered me to see Philip coming through the door. Even when he didn't have something necessarily that we were thrilled about to talk about. People have been good to us and love us, but not Joseph's brothers. Here comes the dreamer. He's actually got a plan for the future. God told me to tell you this morning, even while others are scheming against you, keep dreaming your dream. When you feel persecution from every side, keep dreaming your dream. When others say, oh, you're too much, you're over the top, that'll never happen at Summerton. We can't do that in this church. Maybe it's never been birthed before, and you're afraid of giving birth. But I declare today, prophetically, from the throne of God, that God birthed your dream, and God has his hand on you, and greater is coming. Another day is on the way, and there's something that God wants to do with you. If you'll invest your time and invest your energy, stop complaining about what others are doing or not doing. Do something for the kingdom of God. They're trying to cancel you, but they cannot cancel what God put inside of you. The degree of their hate and animosity is always overmatched by the capacity of the call on your life. God said this, listen, if you need to write it down, you can. God said, walk in the capacity of your call and not the limitation of the lie. Walk in the capacity of your call, but not in the limitation of the lie that the enemy is circulating about your life. The lie said Joseph is dead. The lie antagonized his father Jacob. The lie had to be lived out for 13 or 14 years while Joseph is enslaved in prison in Egypt. And the pain didn't get any closer to that. It's one thing when you get hurt, boom, there's a sting, and you're able to walk away from it. Well, I'll just ignore them the next 2 or 3 days or the next 2 or 3 months. But it's another thing when it lasts 12 and 13 and 14 years, and you think, God, am I ever going to get through this? Am I ever going to get out of this? And every day you're consumed with what your own brothers did to you. But God said, I believe that God said, and the capacity of your call says this, especially over Joseph and the spirit of Joseph, I won't let your brothers kill you. I won't let the Midianites kill you. I won't let Potiphar's wife have you. I won't let the prison keeper kill you. I won't let the butler forget you. I won't let Pharaoh's dreams fail you. The capacity of your call is bigger than the rejection you have felt. The numbers just don't even add up. But God, you're with me. Can I just, I felt like God spoke this into my heart early this morning. He said, tell someone in this house, sometimes you just need to be still. You're trying to fix everything yourself. And what was a goal and a vision has become bitterness. And these feelings of rejection just keep climbing. And you don't even realize it, but you're speaking out of rejection more than you're ever speaking out of promise. And if you don't stop speaking out of rejection and start speaking out of the promise, you're never going to accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, if you've been here 5 years or 95 years, it doesn't matter. You can X out every good thing that God ever did in your life because all you can do is talk with a negative tongue. Not Joseph. Joseph didn't keep talking back to God. It's been, God, it's year 7. How long do I have to be out here? How long do I have to keep feeling the sting of this? God, it's year 8. God, it's year 9. Well, God, if you're not going to fix it, I'll talk to somebody over here and we'll just figure out a way to fix it. God said, there's some time I need you to be still like Joseph. I need you to keep it shut for just a season. And let me work, and I'll do the miraculous, and I'll put you in places you could never put yourself to begin with. We're camping out here today. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. The word of God has to do a work in us sometimes. God has to say, I need you to look into my word. I need you to see what's really there. He let God work. It's heavy. It's warfare. It's tried to crush you. It's close to your heart. But God said, this thing is not going to kill you. It won't kill your dream. Joseph's brothers bowed down to him. God interrupted me and told me to tell you this, that you are not to bow down to this thing. It will bow down to you. God said, there are others that are trying to force you to your knees, but I am God and there is none other. I birthed it in you long ago and they will. Lift your hands and praise God for the faithfulness of his word. God said, I stretched. Pam, come here. Come here and help me. God said, I stretched some things out over a period of years, a period of time. If I left it to you, You would have caved to back here, or you yes. would have settled for something back here. But yes. God, I know every step has been a little heavy. And I know every step.
Yes, Jan. Yeah.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
It's been a little hard. But I stretched some things out so that I could fulfill my purpose.
Yes.
In
yes. yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Put your hands. Then as I stretched some things out, you didn't know why. You felt like giving up more than once, but I stretched some things out. Joey, I stretched some things out in your life. You didn't understand. You didn't know why. But I stretched some things out for my purposes. Tanya stretched some things out. 14, 15 years. I've stretched some things out for my purposes, for my glory. God's power to forgive what people have done to you in your life
yes, yes.
is not motivated by anything that you can do for Him. His power to forgive you is not motivated by anything that you can do for Him. That's a trade. And we keep trying to trade guilt for forgiveness. But forgiveness is more than a trade. That's why it takes so much from the person that's got to give it. The very hurt that someone perpetrated on your life, you will become no better than them if you keep holding on to unforgiveness.
Right. Right.
Forgiveness is not a trade. It's a standalone act of God that should blow our mind every day that we simply have the privilege to live for Him and praise Him and worship Him. Stand with me this morning. Wayne, is there anything that you can trade for Calvary? Anything you can trade for the cross? If not, then carry it like you're supposed to. There's not anything you can trade for it. Carry it like Jesus did. Take up your cross.
Yes.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. I flash back every now and then. If there's nothing you can trade for it, carry it. Joey, sometimes, that's why the Word of God is here, that we take on the characteristics of those. David didn't fall to Bathsheba so that you've got an excuse or a cop-out to fall to every Bathsheba along the way.
Right.
Peter didn't deny Jesus so that we can stand around and say, well, Peter did not. Peter failed him and he was close to God. I can do whatever I need to do. No, no, no. Those men are there. Those women are there. This serves as an example to us so that we don't do what they did. More than a trade. Joseph, after 13, 14 long years, he chooses to forgive his own flesh and blood. And Joseph said, I am your brother. I love it. What you did to me did not change who or what I am. I'm still your brother. And that's the difference between Joseph and us. I think sometimes we get this attitude. I'm Joseph, because God's on my life. And I choose to forgive you. That was not Joseph's attitude at all. Joseph said, this thing that you meant for my detriment and my hurt, said God's hand was in it all along. And without arrogance, Joseph says, I forgive you. I'm your brother. And God has worked this as an opportunity for me to provide and to sow into your life.
Yes. Yes.
What you could not have done on your own. Not because I'm superior to you, but because history was. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We get so lost in our petty. Can I just say it? A word I don't use a lot. Stupid. Imbecilic. Childish. Old little world. And God said, there's a season coming. There's a day coming when a famine is going to cover this land. A day coming when you'll need the favor of someone on the inside. A day coming when you need my hand on someone else's life so that they can help you. And a day when you may be able to help them. And we are wrapped up in this one little hurt. And God said, I'm trying to spare nations. I'm trying to spare the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have called you to reach nations, declares the Lord. I have called you beyond the famine of your own soul. I have called you beyond the credit. I have called you beyond your own name. I have called you to spare others. It is this day, declares the Lord, that you need to reposition yourself and refocus your priority. It is this day, declares the Lord, that I will use you to bless others and serve others. It is this day, declares the Lord, do not run from me and do not turn from my word in this very hour, for I am God and I am calling you even now. Joseph said, you sent me to Egypt, but God made me a father to Pharaoh. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking today in this service. He said, I'm about to give you favor with Pharaohs. Tanya, favor with Pharaohs. Bobby, favor with Pharaohs. I'm about to bless you today. I'm going to give you favor with people you never saw coming, entities, personalities, people you never saw. Summiton, I'm about to give you favor with this community that you never experienced before. The greater is coming. Not for the sake of Joseph, not for the sake of Harv Turner, not for the sake of Pastor, not for the sake of the staff, but for the sake and the glory of the Almighty God. Stop your focus on those who hate your dream. Focus on Pharaohs. I want you to look right at me. Listen, I've been this close in my life, Brian, to letting what someone else spoke over me change who I am. And God caught me just in the nick of time. The Spirit of God arrested me. If God could forgive Adam, if Joseph can forgive his brothers, if Ronald Cotton could forgive Jessica Thompson, if Jesus can forgive those who crucified him, that same capacity is in your life. That call is on you. We think sometimes it will make me weak if I forgive, if I bend, but it does not. God said to tell you, this doesn't change who you are. I hadn't planned to preach this, but I read a little further. Verse 20 of that same chapter in Genesis 45 said this. Joseph's brothers realize that he's not going to cut them in pieces. He's not going to eliminate them from the face of the earth. He said, listen, I'm your brother. Is my father still alive? He finds out that the father's still alive, and then he goes and he tells Pharaoh what's going on, and Pharaoh, the word says that Pharaoh and the people of Egypt are excited. Pharaoh said, we're going to load you down with blessings. You go back and get your father, Jacob. Tells his brothers, go back and get dad. And he said, don't worry about your stuff. The good of the land of Egypt is yours. I love that. The more I thought about that, I almost got to dancing in my office. He said, the heavy stuff back there. He said, the couches, the furniture. He said, don't worry about that. He said, everything you need is right here in the land of Egypt. Just go back and get your father. Get the things that are close to you that matter to your heart. He said, you come on back and anything you need, I'll bless you. If you can ever learn to forgive like that, God will, I'm telling you, God will open up doors that goes beyond your own personal hurt. Verse 27 said, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. When he found out Joseph was alive, his spirit revived. Maybe you're the key for someone else. Maybe God wants to do that for you today. This is the day you need your spirit revived. You're so tired of carrying this. I want to do that. I felt like God was specific about two things this morning. First of all, he said, if there's anyone in this house, you've carried sin, you've carried addictions, you've carried something that keeps getting between you and the Father. He loves you. You can't get between it can't get between you and his love. But you've let it get between you and his forgiveness. If you're here today and you need to give that to God, you need God. You say, God, I need you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God, I need you to forgive me. First, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. Almost in every section. God, I need you to forgive me today. I don't need to leave this house until I've been forgiven. If you raised your hand, will you come meet me in this altar first? Will you come just stand right? God bless you for your fortitude, God. God bless you for your honesty with God. If you raised your hand and you would say, Pastor, I don't want to leave here today until I know that, God, you have forgiven me. If no one else ever forgives me, I need to know that you have forgiven me. Still coming. This second step may be one of the toughest things that you've had to do. But you would say, Pastor, I need to bury some things. I've carried something for a long, long time. And when I could have settled, when I could have been a 10, I've settled for being a 5. When I could have been a 9, I've settled for being a 4. When I could have been so much more, I've let this set up in my life. And I've carried this weight for 45 years. I've carried this weight for so long. God said, be very specific with them today and don't let anyone off the hook just bypassing this. Said, give them a call. Tell them this altar is open. If that's you today, and there's something you need to give to God that you've carried for a long, long, and it's weighing you down, and you know it's weighing you down. God said, I'll hold you responsible for it from this day forward, but if you'll respond today, I'll break it in your life. I'll break it. I want everybody on this stage, no musicians, none. Tanya, everybody. I want you to come. I want everyone to come. Lay your hands. Tanya. Cheryl. Yeah. Find someone, lay your hands on their shoulders. Lay your hands on their shoulders. I want anointed people that know how to pray. Step out from where you are. Come put a hand on someone's shoulder in this altar today. I support you. You've got a brother. You got a sister. You got someone that loves you. It's praying for you. Lift up your hands to the heavens, God, in Jesus' name. You don't need to tell me. Just tell God. You don't need to hear me. You need to hear God. Will you pray out there? Lift your hand. Pray for those today. You don't have to carry this anymore. It's been 13 years. It's been 14 years. You don't have to carry this anymore. God said you're free. God said I'm doing it. God said I'll work it in your life for my good.